That's a powerful thing that the church has. A powerful thing. And it's right on time for today because God's a right now God. Amen? Amen? You know, he's a right now God. Even if he don't come when you want him to, he's right now, ain't he? He comes when he needs to. And he moves when he needs to. And so as I looked at this theme, and I'd never seen a theme that long. You know, sometimes pastors like them short, snappy topics, subjects, you know. And then when I went to the scripture, amen. And let's give these young ladies another hand of God bless you. Amen. You young ladies, y'all really praise the Lord. And the whole service has been in line with the theme of this message because the theme is so important today. Look at that person next to you and say, neighbor, God needs you. If they don't look like they understand what you're talking about, look at the person on the other side of you and say, neighbor, God needs you. See, you always hear the fact that God don't need us. We need him. But God need us also. And not because of the fact he need us, it's because he chose us. He chose us. We was grafted into this thing and he chooses us to reach somebody. Anybody have family members? Anybody has cousins? Anybody has peeps? Anybody has co-workers? Anybody has a neighbor? Anybody go to the grocery store? Ladies, do you go shopping? And we're out there. We're in this world. And the Bible said, but we're not of the world, but we're in the world and we're making an imprint and we're doing things in the world. As Jesus said, let a light shine in this world. We are the salt of the earth. And so God needs us. I used to tell the parishioners, I said, don't think Jesus is going to come down there and do it for you. The Bible says he don't work, don't eat. He put some things in our hands to do, didn't he? You know, we all know, Lord, do this. Lord, do that. I remember that song way back. Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, I pray. Lord said, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do while you got me ripping and running and doing all your desires? But we serve a great God. And Jesus was faithful and he did what he was placed in his hands to do. And in this lesson, that's a Christ-centered church with a big heart serving a big God and doing big things for his kingdom. That's a lot. That's a lot, my brothers and sisters. 45 years in the ministry, I was a young 23-year-old. And, you know, coming out of the Marine Corps, and I was fit. life was all before me. But Jesus said, I got something for you to do. But, Lord, I won't go chase them girlies. Lord, I'm a young man. I got all these expectations, and I want to do this, and I want to be that, and he said, I have something for you to do. And for these 45 years, this gospel's been carrying me. And every day hasn't been sunny. The road hasn't been easy. Huh? There was times I wanted to give up, and I probably did give up to a certain degree. Huh? But I stayed there. I stayed there because I remember that knock at my heart, telling me. And not only did he tell me that he needed me, but myself and two other young men on Sandy Run in Jacksonville, North Carolina, at a tent revival. I didn't know those young men, but God did. And he called all three of us to the youth ministry. And we went from there. And it was a while later, you know, because anybody ever just got up when the Lord told you to go? No. You know, some of us, I say, go over there. We go that way. He said, I told you to go over there. But that's okay. I'm going to wait for you. I'm patient. And so 45 years later, and God birthed me, and every church I was in, because on my 40th high school reunion, I received a certificate, Pastor Forney, for have lived in the most states. That wasn't including Korea and Japan, being overseas. But so God had me moving around, but that ministry that he called me to stay with me. And in the lesson we're going to see, and it's going to expose what I'm really talking about, God, through his Holy Spirit, opened that introduction. But the book of 1 Peter 4 and 10, the fourth chapter, the 10th through the 11th verse is our theme. And listen to what it says here. And yes, I do get nervous every time I get up to speak for the Lord, because I don't want it to be me, but I want it to be him speaking through me. So from 1 Peter 4, chapter 10 and 11 verse, our theme with this great that scripture with this great theme is a Christ-centered church with a big heart, serving a big God and doing big things for his kingdom. And the verse says, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The 11th verse said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And that in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, make me a vessel. That's what they were saying. Make me a vessel. See, Jesus was a chosen vessel. Make me a vessel. Make me someone that you want to use, Lord. And then say it with me, as the praise team said, Lord, build your church.
Lord, build your church.
Come on. Do you really mean it? Lord, build your church.
Lord, build your church.
From the ground up. That means start with us. Yes. Start with me, Lord. Yes. Huh? Yes. Use me, Lord. Because each and every one of us in here, the Lord wants to use. Each and every one of us, the Lord needs. Yes. Don't think, man, you got some partners that you associate with? I'm talking to the men. Men, y'all have partners? Y'all talk about the game with? Huh? I know you called them up. What happened to the thunder? You know? So we all have someone. Ladies, y'all have that girlfriend that you call and, you know, so-and-so is having a sale. You know? Huh? I call up the couple friends and say, hey, let's go out to dinner. Let's meet at so-and-so's restaurant. God can use us to reach others. So as he built his church from the ground up, as he make vessels out of us and uses us, we see what Peter says, that we have gifts. So in this first epistle of Peter, he began first thanking God for salvation. Are you glad about it? Are you glad he saved you? Oh, man, I'm so glad God saved me. Because when I was in North Carolina and the other, they gave me, you know what they called me? They called me the Oklahoma Wild Man. The word wild speaks for itself. I was so glad God saved me from me. He saved me. And he changed my life. So in 1 Peter 1, verses 2 through 7, here's what he says. He said, elect according to the knowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. That way he had to take that wild out of my life. And that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if ye need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Keep that in mind. The manifold or the many temptations. We're always tempted, aren't we? The old prince of the air, he's down there and he just tries to get into our mind and he tries to get us, get our focus off of Christ, right? And the work that is before us and on the world and things that self wants. And it's hard, ain't it? Because everybody loves self, don't they? Anybody in here don't love themselves? We'll call 1-800 help. Get you some help, because we as a human being, we love ourselves, don't we? If we're in our right mind. And we love. That's why we look in the mirror so long, right? Well, my wife always say, you are always in that mirror. I want to look good for Reggie, if nobody else. You know. I mean, that's why, is that why y'all always late? I'm always going to get it. Oh, wife, is that why you always know? But, you know, we love ourselves. It's our nature, that nature of that flesh. It seeks its own. And so it's important for us to understand that temptation is out there. So listen to what Peter is saying to us. He goes on in that 7th through the 9th verses. We're trying to get up to that 10th verse where our lesson is. And he says, we learned that how that trials will define our faith. All this temptation and stuff. What the Bible says, the temptation come to what make us? There you go. Huh? Because the more you resist it and the more you get over that temptation, the more you have the ability to resist those that are coming in the past. Huh? Because they're going to come. As long as you walk on this earth, ooh, that's a good-looking car. Huh? No, in a good way, you can't afford it. Huh? That temptations will come. You know, I'm trying to, my wife had me in the gym, and I'm trying to get rid of this middle-aged spread, but then I love my sweets. I love my sweets. And I always go over to mom's house where mom always had them cookies. And she had them Walmart soft cookies for us aged people. Well, we can. That temptation is always there. No matter how great or how small it is, we're always going to be tempted. But he said that those trials and things, they define our faith. He says it here in the 7th verse, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time I get over a hurdle and every time I be able to resist that temptation, boy, I give God the praise. I thank the Lord for giving me the strength and the mind to do that. And so he goes on to say, whom having not seen, we haven't seen him, ye love. Yet we love the Lord. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So he was thanking him, like you young ladies, y'all were doing the praise dance. And I could see the one in the middle getting caught up in it. And they were praising him because we haven't seen the Lord. But we know what the Lord has done for us. We know that when we call upon him, he will hear us and he would answer us. And so every time we experience the glory of the Lord, that unspeakable joy that he can give us in our praises. So as we get up to this 4th chapter, and if we look at this great theme and the scripture that follows it in that 10th and 11th verse, I want you to pause for a little bit with me and think about the world we live in. You all said you have friends and family, children and grandchildren, and spouses. And look at the situation of our world today. Are you happy about it? As we were traveling here, we saw people going about their business, but their business wasn't going to church, at least it seemed like it. Because they was in their jogging clothes on one area. And I was just looking. And not just on a Sunday morning, but I look at and I go by churches on Wednesday and I go by and I see that how we as God's people have turned from the things that he asks us to do for him. But one thing we have not turned away from is that getting on those knees and saying, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you to bless me in this area or that area. Are we still praying for his help? Are we still praying for God to do something for us in our lives? And he welcomes that. He said, cast your cares upon me, for I... And even though we leave him, he said, I never leave you and I never forsake you. And that's what I love about him, because when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, and I ain't talking about doing an amphibious landing for the Marine Corps, I was sinking in sin on the things that was the lust of this flesh. But he never, never. He never left me. People have left me. What boy's crazy? Huh? But he never left us, did he? He never left us. So in this 4th chapter, Peter is letting us know that we have to suffer. See, y'all was all in the message today. We're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to suffer, young people. And each generation is different than that one before. Huh? You have your music. We had our music. Just my imagination. You had yours. We had ours. You had your style of clothing.
Yes, sir.
You have your style of clothing, right? I'm going to make it plain. But each generation, thank you, Holy Spirit. I can feel him all in this place. He He wants us not to ever take our eyes off of him. He don't want us to veer too far to the left or too far to the right. He still wants us to acknowledge him in all our ways. Trust in him and lean not to our own understanding. This is what he wants for no matter what generation you were raised up in. As he built his church from the ground up, he said that the gates of hell will not what? Praise team. If not, won't prevail against it. No matter how it pushes against you, and no matter what temptation is come upon you and is drawing you, his church is still able to help you to stand today. And if we look at the world today, the plea is going out through people like me that is his servant. I need you. The Lord said, I need you. I need you because that person that you know, that person you work with, that person that is in your household, they're going astray. They're leaving me. And I need you to be that light. I need you to be that salt. And above all, I need you to be that spokesperson. Oh, I love the women of the world because women don't, they'll tell you point blank, boy, you need to get in church. Huh? It's the grandmothers and the mothers have them on Mother's Day and Easter in church. The men is kind of, boy, you going to church? And we listen to their little excuse and maybe leave them alone. But that mother, that woman, she'll stay on them until he come in. He might be late or she might be late, but they'll come in and he needs us because we're going astray. And we see the conditions of our world from the politics on, from the White House to our house. And we see, I used to say, Sister So-and-so, where's, talking about her little kid, where's Megan at? I got tired of fighting her. Man, when I was growing up, it wasn't about us they getting tired. Yeah. If you don't get up from their churches, they didn't, it was asked for me in my house. We gonna serve the Lord. When you get so grown that you don't have to go to church from my house, you need to get your home. That's what they taught me. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how lovely you are. I don't care how you look just like me, son. I got my last name. It don't matter. As for me and my house. Because he needs us. The Lord said he needs us. We said, grow your church, Lord, from the ground up. So it starts with us. And we got to, I don't know where we got out from that. I was blaming us when I talked to family members. It's our these baby boomer generation, which includes me. Because our parents didn't go for that. And then when you got in church, you better act like you want to be there. Church I'm in now, little boy sitting back with an attitude. You know, y'all know how kids sit with attitudes. Oh, our parents didn't go for that back in the day. They didn't go for you sitting having an attitude in church. And you better not act like you're going to sleep, like you don't want to hurt. Because I remember mom used to, right from church, into that, now go to bed. You tired? Now you go to bed. Where do we get off? The Lord is saying, what are y'all doing? Where do y'all get off? And young people, this is not me. Believe me. You don't want somebody calling you a wild man from Oklahoma, huh? And maybe I'd be just because I was doing every crazy thing, you know? But they were doing it for your good because times have changed, remember? It's changed. It's hard for our young people now. They'll shoot you just as sure as they look at you. I spent years in Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City is known for a gangster type city. And when I first got there, I remember one guy shot another guy at the bus stop. Why? They said because he looked at him. is so dangerous. Times, the perilous times have come, and it's dangerous. Let me hurry on. So, these trials is defined by our faith. Hold to them, young ladies. This dancing that y'all doing, it pleases God. He inhabit the praises of his people. And when you dance for him, any chance you get, think about what the songwriter is saying and what you are demonstrating to those that are looking. Until that thing get down in you and you don't wait for their praises, but your praises that you're giving them, you can become overwhelmed. I love to see praise dancers when they get happy about what they're doing and the Spirit of God falls fresh on them. So he says to us today, we're going to suffer with Christ. And understand that the work of a Christian is a twofold. Doing the will of God and suffering for his pleasure. Doing the will of God and suffering for his pleasure. And it sounds like, oh, that's not hard to do. Yes, it is. Because God's word doesn't change. And it's always telling us something, isn't it? When we read it, when we're in the Bible studies and the teaching lessons. Why is the church is falling away doing Bible study? See, I'm a vineyard worker. I'm a vineyard worker, you know. And when I pastored in different churches that I went to, one year I pastored two churches for a whole year at the same time. And so as I work in God's vineyard among his churches and undergirding the pastors and things, I'm concerned about the body of Christ. I'm concerned about people because, you know, it's so much pulling at us, but I wonder why people don't want to suffer. Why we don't want to suffer. If we feel like, and see that suffering, like the world suffer in the way the Christian suffer is different. It's a different type of suffering. And Jesus said in his word that if you suffer with me, if you reign with me. So as we go through what Christ, doing the things Christ wants us to do, see, young people, the world is pulling at you. It's pulling at you because it knows that you're very intelligent. It's pulling at you. It knows that you have the opportunity and the mind to be what you want to be in life. And it's pulling at you and it wants you to go towards it. And don't, you can be successful in serving the Lord. You can be great. Don't you know that this world needs a Christian in every area of it? Whether you're in the hospitals, where you're in the politics, where you, no matter where you're at, it needs Christians. It needs us as Christians. So as we look at the twofold, let us look at that verse 1. And I'm going to read most of, I'm going to jump around in it. We're leading up to that 11th verse, the 10th and 11th verses. He said in the 1 and 2, he said, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Not that you won't sin anymore, but you don't want to sin. After he saved me, I like that Oklahoma wild man. you know, that doesn't look good. And we stop doing things because it's not pleasing to God, don't we? Because there's pleasure in sin. You know, that pleasure that you was enjoying in while using that sin is still there. But what pulls you away from it is that you love the Lord more than you love what you're doing. And you say, I don't want to displease the Lord because he's been good to me. Ain't that right, mothers? I'm in the middle now, young people. He's been too good to us, haven't he? He brought us from a mighty long ways. He helped us raise our children. He helped us navigate through this whole crazy world we live in. He's been too good. So we take off that old man and we take off all of that crazy stuff because we don't want to displease the Lord. Because he suffered for us in the flesh. For he that had suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Don't you want to do his will? Yes. Moses and Martin Luther King said that. I just want to do the will of the Lord. And so, and I love that. And that's my testimony. I just want to do the will of the Lord. Whether I make a mistake today and I have to ask him for forgiveness, I want to get up and continue being that vessel and doing the will of the Lord. Philippians 2, 5 and 8, through 8 said, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we have to be faithful, because that our trials and stuff will define our faithfulness. Have faith. And if you make a mistake, brush yourself off, get back up and get back in the race. Huh? He's faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. I know y'all probably haven't did nothing wrong, but whew, he has dumped me a few times and cleaned me up. So that third and that sixth verse, Peter says, reminds us how we once were. And I took out the fourth and fifth one because he named some of the stuff we were doing. For the time past of life, he said in that third verse. And then the sixth verse, he said, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. And aren't we judged? We're judged by others. We're judged by people. But live according to God in the spirit. And this is what makes the difference. I found out, back to you young people, I found out I love trying to live right. It don't sound good, do it? But I love trying to live right, because I know what the experiences I had in living wrong. Help me out, adults. Sometimes it's hard to live it down, ain't it? Sometimes, even now, like, Slewfoot, shut up. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Remember when you did? I love trying to live right. I love it because I love the respect that I get from my elders. I love the respect that I get from young people. I love trying to live right. And it don't come naturally. I'm not naturally good. I'm not naturally doing the right thing. But I have to shun that appearance of evil. I have to try to be good. I have to intentionally try to do the things that are right. And the outcome of it is great. It's great. You know, try it if you're not doing it. And if you're doing it, keep doing it. Keep doing it. So he goes on and he says to us that, so our theme of Christ-centered church with a big heart, serving the big God, and doing the things for his kingdom. So we're going to break it down into three parts. So first he talks about, in that seventh verse through the eighth verse, ninth verse, he first talks about being sober and watchful. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then he goes on in that 8th verse, and he said charity. I heard y'all talk about that, that love. See, let's stop throwing love around like it's a, see, because the world has its version of love, and the Bible has its version of love. And the way that the world say love, whoo, man, we don't like that, do we? It got crazy. Old Janet said, what love got to do with it? If you treat me like all of this, I guess that's who said that. Tina Turner. Oh, okay. Okay. I don't think that was Janet. Janet said, what have you done for me lately? They know, see, they. Amen. So he said in about charity, he said, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity, which is love, shall cover the multitude of sins. Like I say, when you come and you're doing good and they see you trying to live right, your seniors, they will embrace you with that love. I heard the pastor talk about it, how if you come in this church, you're going to experience love no matter how long you be here. And if you leave and come back, you're going to, love is going to meet you at the door. You're going to experience it again. So let's get down to them, because I don't want to keep you long. He talks about hospitality, one to another, without grudging. It's just nice to be nice, young people. And it's just good to be good. Treat people nice. See, respect is earned. Because I'm bald-headed, and if I try to grow a little hair, it's going to be white like this beard. But that don't mean that I should be respected. I should earn that respect. It don't come with because you're 68 years old. That's how old I am. It don't come because of that. Because there's some 68 years old and older you can't respect. They're not earning it. We ought to earn that respect. So when we give hospitality one to another, don't do it grudgingly. Do it freely. Freely you give, or you receive, freely give. So let's get to the heart of this. I'm a Christ-centered church. As he said in this chapter, the 10th verse, he said, as every man had received a gift, even so minister the same one to another. Everyone up here had gifts, didn't they? And they was ministering it to us, not to themselves. Yeah, they were enjoying the praises. They was enjoying the singing of the songs. And then we out here that was receiving the gifts that they was sharing with us, you have gifts. Every one of in here, that's why I said it earlier, has something that God can use. Just, what's my gift? I don't know my gift. You know how we determine what our gift is? The easiest way? What you do naturally? Without even thinking about it. Boy, that sister's so nice. She always come and greet. She always wanted to hug you. Hospitality, her gift. That's her gift. That sister, that our brother, that's in the pew singing, sounding like an angel. That's their gift. Gift and calling of God come without repentance. I'm trying to get some close to my age. We used to sit on the corner with our night train and Boone's Farm and them brothers be drinking and singing, and they could sing, singing them Motown records, and they could sing. Wasn't being more saved and wasn't trying to get saved, but they were doing it. God gives us gifts, but he wants us to be used in his service. He wants these gifts to be used for his pleasure. Peter refers, I'm done with that one anyway, Pastor. As every man had received a gift, even so ministered to one to another. And the gifts here refers to is the gift is called charisma. And so God's grace bestows this upon believers. You know, so we have gifts. These gifts are tools or abilities given by the Holy Spirit to equip believers for ministry and service. A good steward of the manifold grace of God. God give us so much kitchen magicians out there. People can cook. And man, you know, who made that peach cobbler? Who made those green beans? You know, we all have something that we can serve one another with. So he said, these are simple abilities, but are gifts bestowed by God for the purpose of building up the church and helping others. As Peter emphasizes that these gifts are part of God's manifold grace, he's saying that they vary and are abundant. Every gift should be operating in the church. You shouldn't be sitting on your gift, because it's a blessing to someone. And I'm talking about building the church up from the ground up. Well, this is how we build our church, is by exercising the gifts that God gives us. Everybody has a gift, and to do something in God's house. You remember the saying that used to go around, if everybody in the church was like me, what kind of church would my church be? We used to say that. So Peter encouraged believers to be good stewards of these gifts, meaning we should use them wisely and faithfully for the good of others, not for personal gain, and that these gifts are to be used to serve one another in building up the body of Christ. Somebody is looking for something you have. Last night, as we went out and got a little something to eat and was coming back, and a man said, do you have 50 cents? And that's not a lot of money in this day and time. We're blessed. We're more blessed than that, aren't we? We're more blessed than 50 cents, right?
Amen.
I'm finna say, Lord, help us. So I said, the first thing came to my mind, I'm going to give him a Trinity offering. So I started putting that $3 that my wife just gave me for. And I said, here, sir, I'm going to give you a Trinity offering. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. And he said, and he thanked me, and he said, if I ever see you again, I'll repay you. I'll give it back to you. I said, okay. Amen. So we all have something we can give someone, and we can give it abundantly. We can give 50 cents. Wasn't going to hurt me, you know. And you know what Seth said? He probably asked for 50 cents because he know that you probably didn't have change on you. I said, whatever. But I was able to minister to him the word of God. And this is where he was leading up to. He said, with a big heart serving a big God. In that 11th verse, he said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And Peter here is emphasizing that when anyone speaks, they should speak as one who speaks the words of God. Words of God. He is urging believers to ensure their communications, especially in a public ministry context, it aligns with God's revelation and not just their opinions. And Peter encouraged believers in speaking as one that speaks the oracles of God. We should always have that word down in us. Like I told the man, I'm going to give you a Trinity offer. Lead him to Christ. Now, he might have, when he get ready to use that $3, I pray that he would say, this is a Trinity offering. This is one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Because God said his word would not come back void, will it? So when we give it out there, once we give it out, once we speak it, then his word will do the rest. It will do what it's designed to do. And then in the midst of it, the source of our strength, he said, let him do this as of the ability which God giveth us. God gives us the ability to do what we do. Not we. We probably couldn't get up there and do like you young ladies did. But God gave them the ability to do it. I definitely can't get up there and sing like the praise team. Even though I'd be over there tearing it up. Pastor probably be saying, nah. But he gives us the strength to do what we do. If we desire to work for the Lord, he'll strengthen us. He'll give us the strength that we need. If we desire to speak for him in any occasion, you know, he will give us the strength to be able to do that. So, and then doing big things for his kingdom. Doing big things for his kingdom. Doing big things for his kingdom. He needs us, y'all. As a youth minister, and I only stopped being a youth minister when I became a pastor, but my desire has always been for the youth. Always. I used to see grown-ups walk past young people and talk to the group of adults. And that was just, I'm just telling you the truth. But all God's people matters. They all matter. And we got to start. I lived a generation where I've seen us lose generation after generation of our young people. Huh? And we talk about it, but we don't do nothing about it. Huh? We lose them and we hear what they're saying. I've seen us say what we don't like they do. Is that right to say the passage? The rap music. You mean when they start doing Christian rap? We wasn't used to that. Well, hey, if I sung the songs David them sung, we probably wouldn't like that either. But I saw that concept driving our young people out of the church. And then I started seeing, I was raised in Oklahoma. But I went, the service took me all over to Denver and Tennessee and Colorado and North Carolina and all these places. But I started seeing our young people falling away from the church. And they was telling us what they wasn't liking we were doing to them. And I ain't saying everything was valid. Because everything, when I went astray, it wasn't valid. But still we talked about it. And then they told us one day at the conference that we went to, we all went to. Remember when they told us that the world is speaking to our kids. So the church need to speak to them more. They in the social media and the World Wide Web and they talking to their peers and stuff and they're listening to them, but the church is not saying anything. And that's what they told us. This is not something I'm coming up with. But I look at our churches. I look at our churches and I'm like, our young people. See, sheep begot sheep. Sometimes we want the shepherd to do all the work and getting the sheep, but hey, remember, we got them in our house. We have them on our jobs. We have them around us as neighbors, and we need to. Man, my mama used to fill up that old Ranchera Ford station wagon, and she'd bring all the neighborhood kids to church. She'd have it loaded down. I remember when I was in North Carolina, that's after God, as an adult, I accepted him, and I was taking these kids to church, my mother's son. And I forgot something, and I ran back to the apartment. And the kids that I had, I saw her going to what we call the shop, a little place in the shade where they, you know. But I said, oh, well, Lord, at least I'm taking her children to church. So we can't stop people from doing what they're doing, but we can do what God put in our hands to do. Huh? You know, maybe we might reach one of those kids. Maybe they might look back when they get older and say, I remember when I used to do praise dances. I remember when I used to sing in the on the praise team. I remember, as Pastor talked about Jocelyn, we got to do what he put in our hands to do. Doing big things for his kingdom. You know, big things often start little things. The little things we do. Telling somebody you love them. You can imagine that sometimes, especially like nowadays, they say you got to fight with the kids to get them to church and everything. They want to hear, I love you and I thank God for you. Thank God for you, sister. Thank God. I admire you. You always have a smile. You should have saw me earlier, though, man. I was fighting with these kids. Huh? You know, so these things, they're big things. And the emphasis is on God's glory. I'm at the end now. The emphasis is on God's glory. God has a bigger glory. This message, it had a long theme, but as I had to deal with it, Peter's like the pastor and I said, he's up front and in your face. Peter don't care about your emotions. He don't care about your feelings. Y'all know how Peter was. He was a spokesman. But Peter suffered. Peter went through what he was trying to tell us as a church. You're going to have to suffer with the Lord. You're going to have to suffer in this thing. If you think it's going to be a bed of ease, you're in the wrong place. If you think you're not going to suffer, you got the wrong idea. People, and then the Bible says our greatest afflictions are going to come from where? Right in the household. Because everybody comes in is not completely converted. Jesus said, when you come converted, strengthen your brother. That means some people are weak around you. Some people don't really know the love of God yet, and they need to learn it from somewhere. I know I did. I didn't know. I was in college in Jacksonville, and I'm from Oklahoma, so, you know, we speak to everybody. Waving at folks. And I spoke to this man walking down the hall and he didn't say nothing. So Oklahoma Wild Man said, well, forget you. I had to learn how to love. I didn't know how to love. That old do unto me. So we, as God's people, in building his kingdom, we're teaching them how to love. I got to get out of here, Peter. And see, Peter's the rock and Pete's the rock. But Jesus used that to show his church upon this rock. Not you, Peter. Not you, Reggie, when I found out my name means rock. No, it's built upon Christ. And Peter is encouraging us as believers to use our gifts to reflect God's character and reveal his truth to the world. Look, make me a vessel, Lord. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange things has happened to you. When you're going through and when you feel like you're being wronged and when you feel like you're not being treated fair, don't think that is strange. Because that's what the world does. It don't love like we love. It don't forgive like we forgive. And I understand some, my brothers and sisters, as you being a part of this body that is being built up from the ground up, that everybody that comes in is not saved. Some people are still got that old man on them, that old nature, and they're taking off. And they might need you to help them take off some of that old ways. Huh? They need your love. They need your hospitality. They need the things that you have experienced through Jesus to help them along this way. But it says, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? But there's a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. I hear you, young people, when you say me, Lord. There's a cross that I have to bear. There's a service that I have to give. I didn't like living in six different states, but he was directing my path and he was taking me where he wanted me to be. And the more you open up to the Lord, the more he'll come in. And the more you will be willing to let him use you, the more he'll use you. He'll do what you allow him to do. So as we realize it's a suffering with Christ, and when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. That's why I say, man, other day one of the mothers of the church gave me a compliment, and it was right on time, because I don't think I can preach. Some people preach circles around me, especially when they got a little song, got a little voice of singing, you know. But I know that the word of God is true. And every time God's word will go out from your mouth, he will give you that exceeding joy. He will allow you to be encouraged by his word. And so he goes on and he says, if ye be reproached by the name of Christ, which they will, happy are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And for their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Don't you like that? Hey, they talk about Jesus. They're going to talk about you. But let God be the glory in all that you do. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment shall begin at the house of God. Right here. Build your church, Lord. Build your church. And as it starts with God has, and if it first begin with at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. He needs us, church. God needs us. We're his creation. Who is man that God made him just a little bit lower than angels? God has done so much for us in spite of. And don't ever let the enemy tell you there's nothing you can do for the Lord. Because remember, it's the little things that you do mean so much more to others. Just a little word of hello. A little word of I love you, a little compliment here and there, you know, a little word of encouragement. Young men, we need to get out there and get our young men. We need to get our brothers. They're going astray. God placed man as the head of the woman. And we need to encourage our young men. Young men, understand, only what we do for Christ is going to last. And that what Christ has for us, what Christ wants for us, can't nobody do it but you. What he has for you is for you. And Christ has it for you because he made you. And he know you. And he know your ability. My friends didn't know me. They didn't know my ability. In the service, you tell a lie and I tell a lie. You make yourself look big and I'll make myself look big. But he knows us. He knows all about us. And it's he who made us. So as we look at our theme today, and we look at the fact that we're a church of God. Y'all ready to go to work? Are y'all ready to go to work? Give me a few minutes. If you need me, I'll get up on that turnpike and I'll come up here. I'm here now, back home in Oklahoma. I've been in eastern Missouri for 17 years. And I'm going to say, pat myself, God did a great work through us. He did a great building up churches. And these churches was 100 years old. And one city I was in and I became the pastor, I'm like, what is wrong with the men of this city? They act like they don't want anything from the Lord. They were good men, polite, respectful to the ministers and the pastors, but they just didn't want to go to church. We're going to have to change our mindset. Because like Peter said, if we scarcely make it in, what about them? And if you think God is playing with us, we better go to Walmart and get us a toy. Because God is not playing. God is not playing with us, church. Now, I can't put you into heaven, but I can encourage you to serve Him. This is a relationship between you and God, not me and you. I have a job to love you, to share with you, and be helpers together with Christ. So as I close, let me let you know something. I'm working on a building, church, and it's a sure foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. And as soon as I get through working on this building, I'm going up to heaven to get my reward. And just in case you see me crying, that's just my train for home. Because trouble keeps me awaiting on this journey back home. But I know that as soon as I get through working on this building, I'm going up to heaven to get my reward. This is what it's about for me. Because this world don't owe me nothing. Huh? And this world can't give me where I'm bound. I'm bound to glory. I'm bound. I'm not praying that I go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. But in the meantime, the prophet Isaiah told me one day in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, he said, Lord, who will you send and who will go before us? And he said, Lord, if you need anybody, here am I. Send me. Because I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. If you want me to run for you, Lord, I'll run for you. If you want me to walk for you, I'll walk for you. But I'll do what you have for me to do. Because what he has for me, you can't do it. It's for me. So if you see me and seem like I'm walking wrong, step aside. Because I don't want nobody stumbling over me. Heaven's my goal, church. Heaven's my goal. So let's continue. I can't tell you, but I know this is a great church. Because I came up in here in 2010. I was wounded. I was in need of healing. I was at the Cancer Treatment Center of America. And God allowed me. You say what a friend you have in Jesus, but what a friend Jesus gives you. And he hooked Pastor Forney and me up. And man, we've been friends and brothers in this gospel ever since. And I come to this church and I received healing. I came to this church, I received love. I came to this church, I received fellowship. Reverend Jackson, Pastor Jackson, and other ministers that have gone on so far. But our love, the word of God, the teaching, this is what this church is able to give you. What you go looking for is what you're going to see. But go receiving something from the Lord. Young people, young brothers, will y'all, encourage somebody. You're here. It ain't a popularity contest of being a Christian. This is a way of living. This is a way of living. Will you reach out to your friends, to somebody, and don't even ask them to come to church. Just talk to them about the goodness of the Lord. And keep shining that light before them. Keep letting them see that character of God in you. And that's what makes a difference. That's what, and allow the Holy Spirit do his work in drawing them. All right? Let's build, Lord, build your church from the ground up. Amen. As you make us a vessel.